Greetings on the divine love and light of the most radiant one. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our topic is, It's Your Dream and Your Interpretation. So let's take a deep breath and call yourself forward in complete integration with all of your higher levels and the spiritual upline that and guards and guides and instructs you within and those with whom you have an affinity within the spiritual realms. And at this time we ask that the Master Jesus the Christ and the Holy Spirit work with us this evening in assisting us to see, to truly see through the higher consciousness, the truth of who we truly are, so that instead of projecting the ego's version of life and of the world and interpreting it in terms of separation and vengeance, pain and attack, if instead we could be taught how to truly see by allowing the spirit of truth within us to transform our vision and to teach us how to see through the eyes of the beloved. We ask that whatever could be cleared and lifted this evening from us, the things that we don't have to import into the next moment, that be lifted through grace. And we accept the atonement for ourselves tonight. We accept the at-one-ment in which we awaken from the nightmare of separation and pain, warfare and attack, to the gentle and happy dream of awakening in the heart and in the love of God, and finding that everywhere we look, within and without. Until that happy day when we fully awaken and find that we're home in the heart of God. And moreover, we are the heart of God. And so with that intention, we release ourselves into this seminar and openly embrace of what is there for us tonight to look at and to realize. So, what we're looking at is a very, very interesting point of view, which Jesus presented very, very perfectly in the series of lessons in A Course in Miracles. Now, as I've told you before, Sai Baba has said that the Course in Miracles is the highest teaching on the planet today, but not everyone is able to receive it yet. Because in terms of philosophical parlance, A Course in Miracles is the perfect blending of the consciousness keys and codes of light for the Eastern Advaitic teaching of Vedanta, which teaches that God alone is real, and the Western Christian approach through salvation. And Jesus said that he gave this teaching at this time because we were in need of a celestial speed-up. We hadn't quite gotten the teachings, and we have kept projecting the ego's version of reality and spirituality. And that is why he has given us the gift of A Course in Miracles. It is a course I have studied since it was first published, and every few years I go through it again. But it's in retrospect as I look back on how my inner self has transformed to where certain perceptions have certainly been replaced by a great inner clarity and a sense of joy and peace that has become a permanent state for me. And I can only attribute it to the supernatural touch of grace that has come through my willingness to allow my error to be replaced with truth. And that apparently is the only thing that we need to do, is to be willing to see things differently, to not hang on to the thought that we actually know anything as it truly is at this stage. But that, like a child, if we're willing, the light can come on for us. And as the light dawns in our minds, our little willingness to offer our thoughts to the Lord for correction, the nightmare scenario is gradually displaced by the realization that we truly are love. We truly live in a universe of pure love. And we truly live and move and have our being in God at all times. And so we approach this in a very innocent way, because I think as you study the Course in Miracles, the first thing you realize is that you don't understand a word of it, even though it's written in a language that you speak. You realize that, wow, this is totally the opposite of the way I have been taught to think and to understand life. It is the exact opposite of everything I have been conditioned to believe is the way things are. So why is that important right now? Well, we're in a dramatic shift of consciousness, in case you don't know. And the world that we have invented, which has given us really nothing but grief and anxiety and worry and pain, is being displaced by an engulfing of divine grace that will indeed birth and awaken us to an entirely new way of seeing and being. And everything that God wills is not only possible, it has already happened. So even with A Course in Miracles, one of the things you discover as you begin this course is that you've already completed it. So you're, again, reading something that is coming alive for you within time and space, but something in which you've already been fulfilled and consummated within that full realization that is always yours, just beyond the nightmare. So we actually understand our inner and our outer life as being different. But in truth, according to Jesus, they are both entirely generated out of our own imagination. So what we see when we're asleep at night, and the body is in a sleep state, a dream state, is equally the same kind of a dream as our waking reality when we open our eyes in the morning. There's no difference. They're both dreams. And both of these dreams will vanish when we awaken spiritually. And every enlightened sage and every avatar has said the same thing, that we are asleep. And this life that we're living is a series of dreams. So, the life that we seem to be experiencing today consists of past events that we simply project into the future and thus reproduce as our future. And that we truly see nothing and no one as they truly are in this moment. For example, the minute somebody says, for example, a rose, you immediately bring to mind what it feels like to hold the stem of a rose in your hand, Maybe you feel the thorns. You feel the softness of the petals. Maybe you can imagine the fragrance. So are you really seeing the rose, or are you, in fact, seeing what you remember from the past association that you formed about the rose? And you can use almost any example. For example, if you see a friend that you haven't seen for a long time, you immediately associate that friend with the interactions you've had in the past, regardless of the fact that that person may be entirely in a different state of consciousness and vibration today. But you'll relate to them based on your past experiences, and so on. So if you look at it through what Jesus has said, that we see nothing as it truly is, but we see only the past and our past association that we project onto the future, we'll see that that's very true. I mean, do your own little mosey in your mind. Think about almost anything. A place that you maybe have traveled to. Gosh, I had quite a reality jolt when I went back to a place I lived many years ago, Las Vegas, in the years when it was a sleepy little cow town and consisted mainly of two streets, Fremont Street and the Strip. And there were no freeways. And you go there today and it's huge. It's absolutely. I stood in the street with my mouth hanging open. I couldn't see anything that looked even vaguely similar to the Las Vegas that I remembered years earlier. So that's true with so very much in our life. But the point I want to make here is that we have invented the world such as we see it. And I'm going to share a few ideas from A Course in Miracles on that lesson, which is lesson 32 in the workbook for students. And it's entitled, I Have Invented the World I See. And I read, these are the transmissions of the Master Jesus. You are not the victim of the world you see because you have invented it. You can give it up as easily as you made it up. You will see it or not see it as you wish. While you want it, you will see it. And when you no longer want it, it will not be there for you to see. Now this applies to your inner and your outer worlds, which though you see them differently, they are actually the same. Both exist only in your own imagination. Now, if, for example, and I'm extrapolating now on this lesson, if, for example, you find yourself in a situation where you're experiencing any form of peacelessness, any kind of agitation, angst, where you're beginning immediately to project attack or vengeance on the situation or blame or any form of judgment, stop in that moment and remind yourself, I have invented the situation as I see it. And there's another way of looking at this. Then you ask to be shown the Holy Spirit's way of looking at that situation. And that's how the correction occurs, is that you stop yourself the minute you notice anything less than pure love and joy. Pure love and joy is the evidence that you are connected to truth. Anything less than that lets you know that you're seeing a projection of error, something that you have laid forth on the pristine nature of life. If fact, Sai Baba has said that consciousness, we are like spectators in a theater. Creation is like a blank screen before us, and we project onto that blank, innocent, neutral screen of creation the imagery that we then experience as the movie reel of our life. What projects it? Our mind. We have a right mind, and we have an ego mind. We have God's thoughts within our mind, which is the remembrance of our holiness and our eternal oneness with God. And we have the ego's version, which is the belief in separation and everything that is not oneness with love and joy and divinity. So we have that double-mindedness while we're in the human form. And we're gradually learning to discern where we want to come into agreement. What do we want to have for our reality? In fact, Jesus says very clearly in A Course in Miracles, he makes a statement, I'm responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience, and I decide upon the goal I would achieve. And everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked. That's tough, isn't it? That comes out of the textbook, page 418. And he also says that the holy instant is the moment that you stop and reconnect to the truth within you and choose that to replace the error of projected vengeance and separation. And he has this to say about the holy instant. Can you imagine what it means to have no cares, no worries, no anxieties, but merely to be perfectly calm and quiet all the time? Yet that is exactly what time is for, to learn just that and nothing more. So begin to practice the Holy Spirit's use of time. Use it as a teaching aid to happiness and peace. Take this very instant now and think of it as all the time that there is. Time is inconceivable without change, yet holiness does not change. Birth into the holy instant is salvation from change. Change is an illusion taught by those who cannot see themselves as guiltless. There is no change in heaven because there is no change in God. Remembering God is to remember freedom. So let's look at yourself for a moment here. How awake are you right now? How awake are you to what is real and true? How aware of you right now, how aware are you of the presence of God? How aware are you of the presence of God within yourself or in others? Or in the world tonight? How have you colored the world? What thoughts have you projected upon the world? Is that the world you want? Is that really the world that you would like to live in? It's really excruciating to think that we are responsible for how we see things, how we see the world. And that we will experience exactly in alignment with our choice of interpretation. Wow. So how do you experience and recognize the divine presence in your daily life? How aware are you of being divinely guided throughout the day? Course in Miracles teaches that all voices are echoes of the voice for God. All sounds are re-echoing the voice of God. So how aware are you of your divine purpose? Are you fulfilling the purpose that you've set for yourself in this life? You decide. There's no right or wrong answers here. There's just being present with that which is so for you right now. And how do you meet the challenges you encounter? What is your first response in times of danger or difficulty or negative situations? Jesus said that we must learn to turn to Him first and foremost, not allowing fear to come into our mind. He said the moment fear comes into your mind, you have actually chosen to align with the body. And the body he calls the ego's defense against the truth, that you are made in the image and likeness of God and remain as God created you, which means that you are an immortal spirit. You're not a body. The body is a projected thought form. In fact, it's called a little fence that the ego uses to keep itself separate. It's a defense against everything that would call to joining and oneness and joy. So he said, don't allow fear to come into your mind. Because when fear comes into your mind, he has to step back because you've already chosen to follow false evidence appearing real. You've already chosen to follow the evidence of the body rather than the voice of truth. And he won't come in and align with your fear because that would, you see, fortify it. So he waits. But if you would learn to ask him first, before your mind gets ravaged with fear, anxiety, worry, and angst, you would find that his perfect peace would replace any need for anything less than trust. And perfect trust is perfect love that casts out all fear. But you don't even need the perfect trust because of the perfect atonement that Christ made for you already. He's already bridged you through and assured your success. You just need to turn to Him. Just choose Him. Choose His truth to replace anything that appears in the outer world. Simple enough. But we need to remind ourselves, turn first and foremost to the Lord within you, to the whole Spirit, the Holy Spirit that lives inside you, that dwells in the temple of your innermost being, and ask for His interpretation, His point of view. Ask to see through His eyes. Well, you'll see a different world when you do that. So how large a role does trusting in God's plan, in God's guidance, and God's perfect design play in your life? How aware are you that there is a divine plan for your life? Oh, you don't live at random. Not for a second, beloved. Now, Sai Baba has given some very, very powerful teachings. Huh, that's an understatement of understatements. But but you may not be as familiar with his teachings as I am. So I'll share with you a little bit. First of all, let's define God according to one of the descriptions given in the Vedas. He's described as Satyam Shivam Sundaram. Satyam means truth. Shivam means goodness. And Sundaram means beauty. So truth, goodness, and beauty are ways that you can experience God. For example, Sai Baba says, God is sweetness. He is bliss incarnate. For even the little sweetness that material objects give, he is the cause. Without his sweetness, even the temporary sweetness and joy derived from worldly objects and materialistic pursuits will taste bitter. The wise understand this and associate themselves with the great ones who have tasted the divine sweetness in a spirit of humility and reverence. Develop unwavering love for God and do not be affected by derision or praise, by wind or sun or rain, by honor or dishonor. This one-pointed journey to the goal will set you free. And another very powerful statement, very much in line with our seminar tonight. The fact is that you see only yourself everywhere. You talk only to yourself, to whomsoever your speech is addressed. There are no others. You are all living selves in the body of God. You are God. Love every being so intensely that you are aware of only one. Now, to have such company today in the Western world, where 99.9% of everyone is living out of the false self, the ego, and is working out nightmarish scenarios of great stress and duress. So to keep good company, which is called satsang, it's company with truth, you really need to look for it. You can keep satsang by reading books, watching DVDs, biographies, and documentaries on God-realized people. You can fill your mind with their teachings of genuinely enlightened people, not people that are, you know, halfway there, but those who have demonstrated genuine divine enlightenment. And in that way, you can keep company and you can begin to feed your mind with truth. The more you feed your mind with truth, the more you'll be able to have some tools within your consciousness to enable you to discern what you want to come into agreement with and what is a waste of your time. Today we're getting into some very bad habits because we're becoming very object dependent, very informational dependent in terms of the fact that we are becoming very superficial in our ability to truly focus our mind for any length of time in a way that's required to penetrate into the deeper levels of ourself. We have to get away from the constant interruption of cell phones and input, auditory input. There's just too much of it going on now. As the vibration increases, as the electronic spin of our subtle bodies increases, as we move into this time, which the Mayans call no time, they said that first of all, there'll be an acceleration of time so that experientially more seems to occur in a shorter sp- space of time. And we're certainly seeing that today. It's like you can't keep up with the news or any stream of thought because there's the next downloading of information. So that's why it's important now to begin to discipline yourself into the silence of your own inner being. Begin to eliminate as much of the outer distraction as you possibly can. Because as these events begin to accelerate in the dream field of time and space, and it is a big dream, the experience will be that at some point we go beyond the time sequencing, such as we've known it, and we will actually enter into the predominant state of belief that we've held, and that will be our new ongoing reality. And I think for most of us, we would not want to be anywhere in that vicinity of where we normally live, with the constant distractions that we have. So it's time to really contemplate this life as I'm experiencing it right now is a dream that I have colored with my own interpretation. And is this really what I want my life to be about? Sai Baba would often sing a little song to us when we would be in a private interview. And he would say that life is a song, sing it. Life is a game, play it. Life is love, enjoy it. Life is a dream, realize it. And you know, these are nice things to hear. But how often during the day do we stop and remind ourselves, this is an interpretation I've made. This room that I'm sitting in, I can be in the very heart of God, or I can see it as a limited space that's confining me from where I really want to be and what I really want to do. And it will be exactly how we've interpreted it. You know, Sai Baba lived in a very, very small room. And the old mandir was a tiny little, I would guess it's about an 8 by 10 room. And yet his experience of where he lived and lives in the heart of all beings. And he said that all the houses in the world were his houses. All the cars were his cars. All the countries were his nations. All the people were his family. And all the lives being lived were his own incarnations. Such a state is called God consciousness. And you want to know what God is conscious of? He's conscious of living in you as you. So when we move into God consciousness, that's how we experience ourselves, living in the hearts of all beings. Although that's not necessary for us at this time. In fact, of Course in Miracles, it says that very few people ever attain to that level while they're in the physical body. And those that do attain to it generally are not in the outer world. So it's not a practical goal for most of us. But we can certainly have as a practical goal the choice to allow the Holy Spirit within us to interpret life in a different way for us. We can certainly choose to stop in mid-attack and say, wait, there's another way I can approach this. I could be seeing peace instead of this. I could be coming into agreement with loving instead of this. I've made a mistake, and I don't want to live in this state. So I ask you, Holy Spirit, to forgive me and to correct how I see and how I am operating here. And you just release that old way of being and allow the new perception, the holy instant, the atonement to be given to you. And it's done. The instant you choose that, it is done. That's called stepping free through grace. You don't have to do the work, you just have to choose to receive the gift of the atonement. So that is a very practical goal. And a sequential course of study that will take you through every step in this process with the guidance of the Holy Spirit and Jesus is A Course in Miracles. And it's a whole year-long course. I can't think of a better way to use 2012 than to start the Course in Miracles. One lesson a day. Don't try to understand it. Just read it, put your eyes on it, let the Holy Spirit bring the inner transformation. Just do the best you can with it. But it's not a doing. It's a willingness to allow a correction to be made that can only be made by the Spirit of Truth within you, from within you. It's an inside job. But you'll notice that the inner transformation proceeds perfectly because the good work that He has begun in you, He's not going to leave you unfinished. He will bring you through. And you will notice all kinds of subtle changes in how you see things and how you react. And it's the most loving teachings I have ever encountered on the planet. You know, you can't help but be sweet if you study the Course in Miracles. It makes you sweet. It's like a book full of nectar, divine nectar. And it's there. So the life that we have right now, right today, you can choose right now to reinterpret it. See your life through the eyes of the Lord, the Beloved. He sees you as an incarnation of His love, placed in the perfect circumstances for you to share that love in the perfect context of your life, just as it is right now. And no matter how small or confined, you could be in a prison cell, you could be living in a tent, you could be homeless, you could be anywhere. But that's an opportunity for you to extend God's kingdom and God's love. And the spiritual promise, again, that in highest truth we've never left the heart of God. And our awakening is simply the remembrance of who and what we have always been and could never cease being. So no matter how long you've slept and how many bad dreams you've had, your awakening is absolutely certain. Why? Because your cells and the body of God, according to Sai Baba. Our soul is like an atom in the body of the all that is. And yet it's individualized. It's a godling in the image and likeness, godlike, so that everything that God is and has and manifests exists in you as a potential. You are truth. You are goodness. You are beauty. You are Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. You can't fall out of God. You can't get out of God's love. You are God's love. You live and move and have your being in God. There's no way you could ever, in truth, be separated from God. That's the truth. God is. And so the only thing you ever need to remind yourself is the fact that wherever you are, God is, and all is well. God is before you, behind you, to your right, to your left, above you, below you, and within you. And everything you see is God, disguised in all of this many, many forms, but is experienced and known directly as love. And you always know when you've chosen the right way of seeing, because you have immediate peace. Peace is always the response of truth. And that peace comes from the commitment that you've made to make peace more important than conflict. When peace is all you want, that is all you'll have. And so when things come at you or towards you in your life, begin to look at them as consciousness and energy manifestations, and choose very consciously what you want to import into your life. You will come into agreement with, you will fortify. In fact, Sai Baba said that when you see a fault in another person, you immediately begin to cultivate that quality in yourself. So don't be looking for faults. Jesus said that in the Course in Miracles, that the ego is always vigilant to point out the faults in other egos. It's always on a fault-finding mission. So when you recognize that that is the nature of the ego, don't come into agreement with people who are fond of fault-finding. In fact, you won't attract them into your life when fault-finding loses its appeal to you. You'll begin to attract that vibration that is more consistent with loving and truth and beauty and goodness and gentleness and kindness and joy and all the fruit of the Holy Spirit that we speak of so often. So be very discerning in what you allow to occupy your attention, because whatever you look at will look at you. Whatever you speak about, you fortify. You lend energy to it. Did you ever notice in the Bible that Jesus never gave a response to falsehood? He could tell when people were being deceitful, dishonest, that were trying to set him up, and he was just silent. He knew better than to come into any kind of agreement with the dark side. And we must be that vigilant ourselves not to come into agreement with the things of darkness, which are always joyless. They're always mean-spirited. They're always finding a victim that they can victimize, or they're always playing the victim and trying to get you to come into agreement with their victimization scenario. Be wise. Be wise. Keep your own counsel and keep in the company of the Lord. Begin to speak to the God within your heart as your inamorata, as the one that you love with all your heart, mind, body, soul, being. Fall so in love with the beloved within you that you have intimate conversations every day, heart to heart, and throughout the day, began to speak to the beloved all the time. Walk with the beloved. When you get out of bed in the morning, take the hand of the beloved and say, every single thing I do today, I do with you. And I want you to teach me how to see through your eyes, love through your heart, heal and touch through your hands. Import the kingdom of heaven through every place you put your feet. I want to model you in every way that I can. And you'll find that the whole world around you begins to open to you, because nothing is denied the lover. Nothing is denied the beloved. You'll find that you're walking in the way of grace, and everything you need just comes to you automatically. You don't have to pray about it or think about it. The needful will come always to the beloved, the giver of light, the giver of grace, the giver of love, never knows lack. The ego, on the other hand, has always got a begging bowl out there for something. It's always got an angle. It's always working, you know, an agenda. That is why the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like a little child. We just see a garden of delight that we share in perfect love and safety with our Father, our Mother, our Beloved. And there's nothing to fear. Sai Baba said the outer world is like a magician's conjuration. And it's like a vapor. At the minute the sun, not the Buddhi, the inner intellect, the inner soul awareness, shines on it, it immediately dissolves to be seen no more. He often gives the example of a coiled rope, which you interpret as a snake, but upon closer examination you find it was just a coiled rope. I've had that experience quite a few times, actually, and I always laugh. I think, boy, I could have sworn that was a coiled snake, and it's just a rope. And so the world, too, as you begin to awaken, you'll stop having bad dreams. The nightmares that you have at night represent the conflicting ideas and thought systems and beliefs that you have in your mind, where you have a lot of ego thoughts and a few God thoughts, but not many. Mostly they're ego projections. And so you have dreams that are agitated and full of imagery of negative scenarios being worked out. And as you begin to awaken and the Holy Spirit begins to transform you, because you're willing for that to happen, the first thing you notice is that your dreams start to become more pleasant. You have fewer and fewer nightmares until finally you don't have any nightmares at all, and you have pleasant dreams. In fact, when you're working on soul and above levels, you don't dream at all. You have actual divine experiences, but they're not dreams any longer. Because when you fully awaken and are operating from soul awareness in the physical, you'll find that you're awake and operating from soul awareness also on the inner planes that you formerly were asleep in. So it goes from lucid dreaming to conscious soul enactments, where you as a spiritual being go forth and do work for God in His greater omniverse. Because beyond the dream of the lower psychic and material realms are the real God realms, in which your eternal identity and the things that you have co-created with God exist eternally. You will enter into the real worlds, the real creation, the real God realm, untouched by anything of the fall, which is really the ego's nightmare. So your first hint of awakening is that your dreams start to shift. And then you start having more and more pleasant things that happen in your daily life. Another thing, you notice that you start to see light imagery. You start to see a little golden, kind of like a golden glow around objects when you get up at night to use the bathroom. You'll start to see light phenomena of all kinds. And that's indicative of greater light phenomena being fired in your neurological, your cognitive apparatus. That inner consciousness begins to illumine. And you will have episodes of absolute joy and happiness for no reason at all, where you're just engulfed with a sense of goodwill and all-embracive fellowship and kinship. And you'll begin to notice beauty where you never perhaps even noticed anything before. You'll start to have experiences that reflect to you the new choice of what you would have real in your world. You're starting to make a conscious choice to be committed to the light, to be totally committed to Christ. That's why you can't serve two masters. Either you will serve the Christ and light, or you will serve the ego or Satan, another word for the ego, and darkness. And darkness and light have no fellowship. However, the good news is one is real and the other is false. So you don't have to pay attention to that which is false. Of course, in Miracles says it very simply. Nothing real is threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. Nothing unreal exists. Got it? If it's not of God, it never happened, except in a nightmare. So you're awakening from the dream of vengeance and hell and pain and warfare, starvation and victims and victimizers. And all of that is a choice that you make within your own commitment to the God of your heart of what you would have as your reality. It's not dependent upon any time, 2012, or anybody's calendar, or anybody's scenario, or about anything happening at all, except a choice that you make in your heart of what your life is going to be about, of what you place your full commitment and dedication into. Because whatever you're dedicated to, you will exemplify in your life. Just like nobody has to tell a real Christian because they live a Christ-like life of unconditional loving service. That's why you can see how very rare it is to find a genuine Christian. When I first met John Roger and traveled with him to, we were in Paris, France, and we were on our way to see Sai Baba in India. I remember saying to one of the people in the group, I said, you know, I think John Roger is the first real Christian I have ever met in my entire life, because all he did was look for ways to love people and bless them in the simplest of ways. And yet, if you'd ask him if he was a Christian, he'd say, oh, that's what I would like to be more than anything in the world. But it's really, really a difficult thing to be a Christian. But I'm working at it as best I know how. And so that's what we do. We keep humble. And we keep company with the Master. And we learn how to see through the eyes of the Master. And as we do, we find that we have entered and we are living in the kingdom of heaven. So let's consecrate and commit ourselves to the light, to the Christ, to awakening from the nightmare, and to living in the truth of God, the goodness and the beauty and the love of the all that is. And you've been listening to Commander Lady Athena. And God willing, I'll be with you next week. And we'll go out chanting on I Hear. Deep breath. We send love and light and blessings to every life form on this planet. May every human being be baptized with the deepest love of God. Baruch Hashem Adonai.